Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special. That was touched my heart. That was a blessing to me, and I trust it was to you as well. When faith becomes sight, it's going to happen one of two ways, whether the rapture takes place, then our faith will become sight, or when we die, and to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And I believe that kind of goes right along with the message we're going to be preaching tonight. So Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Sunday nights we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ in chronological order. And exactly the way that Jesus has presented the truths in his little over 3-year ministry here, his public ministry. And we're at the end of his second year of ministry, so we still have quite a bit more to go on this series on Sunday nights. But last week, he was finishing up on the Kingdom of Heaven parables, and the Kingdom of Heaven parable was like a dragnet, if you will. And we studied that to understand it's the dragnet is a fishing net pulled through the water, catching every kind. And that's what the Bible says, catching every kind. And understanding that what God has for us to do is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to reach all. Don't leave anybody out. And to target individuals, but don't just target a certain section of society, a certain color of society, a certain nation. No, God so loved the world, and he wants all people. And so we have to have a worldwide vision of reaching the lost. And when you do that, I believe you have the blessings of God upon your church. And so we studied that last week. Well, the next here in the chronological order, the teaching of Christ is found in Matthew chapter 8. It's also found in Mark in chapter 4 and Luke in chapter 8. But we'll read this account in Matthew. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 down to verse 27. The Bible says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight and all that are taking advantage of that, whether here with us or able to watch a live stream, but want to receive what you have for us tonight. I pray, God, that you would once again empower the preaching of thy word, that we would be able to present your truths the way that you would have them to be presented, and then help each one to receive it and apply it as they have need to make it the application. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here in this particular event in the life of Christ, Jesus stills the storm. And if we would study Mark's account and then Luke's account, you realize it was a designed trial for the disciples. A designed trial. And I love that because God has designed trials for all of us. He works through the trials of life. And it's a blessing to know that when I'm going through a trial, I can understand that God has something that he wants to help me with, or something that he wants to work through me in the lives of others. And we go through trials for those purposes. Well, we find here that in this trial, they would have a near-death experience. And in this near-death experience, they would learn to marvel at Christ, to start seeing him as everyone needs to see him, as God. Yeah. So we find here then these three places in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus would have led them to get into the ship to go to the other side, which would have been Gadara. And as he's in the ship, it was designed that there would be, he knew ahead of time, and whether it was natural or whatever, he knew that this would take place, but he would command the winds and the waves of the sea, and he would calm them in the lives of the apostles. So the first thing we look at here is the cause for this storm, the natural cause for this life-threatening storm, which on the Sea of Galilee, these would come up periodically without a lot of warning. And the reason being was that it was 680 feet below sea level. 680 feet below sea level. The temperature of the cold air off the mountains would collide with the hot air off of the sea. And so this was somewhat had to do with the temperatures of the air. It had to do with this sea being below sea level. And Jesus was able to control all of this. Now it's important that we understand that, because there was a reason why there's storms. Nature, in this case, would have provided the storms, which when Jesus commanded the storms, revealed that Jesus was able to control. The spiritual power of God easily overpowers all the physical forces of the world. As we study this, and that was a trial here, the disciples, once they would have time to go back and reevaluate what they had just been through and realize what had just happened, there was a near death. They thought they were going to die. There was no doubt about that. A near-death experience, and now they're looking back, learning all about this. And they marveled that Jesus was able to control it all. We look in the Bible and we find that God works through the natural things that he has established. God worked through the destruction of this world through a flood before the world had ever experienced rain. God controlled the atmosphere of the world when he planted humanity on this earth. And he would use the atmosphere to destroy the world through Noah and the great flood. And Noah would be instructed by God that there would be a flood coming, and in knowing that there would be a flood coming, Noah looked at God, and he was able to accomplish what God had for him to accomplish before the flood would arrive. But he would marvel at God concerning building a boat, an ark, in a desert land, expecting a flood. Took faith. Moses went the direction out of Egypt that God told him to go, only to find himself backed against the Red Sea, where there was no exit, no way to cross, and the Egyptian army following after to kill all of the people. And then he experienced God, overpowering nature, and completely splitting the Red Sea, where that God's children could walk across on dry ground. I want to see a video of that when I get to heaven. Because God dried it up, but as they're walking across, the water's on both sides. I don't know if there would be a shark sticking his head out every now and then, you know, or what kept all the fish. I just know that it would have taken faith to walk across on dry ground. And Joshua, knowing it was God's will to conquer the land of Canaan, but yet was faced with the Jordan River when it overflowed its banks. And he had the responsibility to get the nation of Israel over the Jordan River, and he knew he could not do that. But he experienced God working over nature. And God dried up an area of the Jordan River right in front of Jericho for the nation of Israel to cross. We would find many of these illustrations throughout the Bible. We would find that Elijah, the powerful man of God, went up against all of the false doctrines of the world. And yet he was able to call down fire from heaven to reveal to the nation of Israel that their God was the only true God. And they killed all the prophets of Baal. But it took God working opposite of nature. Now, God is the one who designed nature. And because God designed nature, the natural realm of things, he chooses to work through it 99.9% of the time. Naturally, we're going to face sickness. Naturally, we're going to face natural disasters. We're going to face things that are just part of the sin nature of man combined with the world and the design of nature. But the disciples needed to learn that Jesus was greater than nature. Spiritual power greater than physical forces, whether they be of the world or of the devil himself. The disciples had not learned to marvel at Christ yet. Their faith was not where it needed to be, because if you have the faith, then you can marvel at Christ and the abilities and what you can do through Christ. Even if you have the faith to remove mountains. God wants us to get there. He wanted the disciples to get there. And this design trial was to get the disciples to the place where they would start looking to Jesus more than just a man, but they would start viewing Jesus as the Messiah. They would start viewing Jesus as the Son of God. They would start viewing Jesus and marveling at who he was and who he is. It's It's where God wants us to be. Yeah. Jesus got on the ship and went to sleep. Yeah. In Matthew, verse 24, there arose a great tempest in the sea, so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. Now, the disciples waited until the very last possible minute. Bible doesn't tell us how long. I'm sure it would have seemed to them like an eternity. And they were thinking, surely he's going to wake up. If we have any chance at all of surviving this storm, he's got to help us through this. They weren't marveling at him as of yet, but they did follow him. They left all to follow him. Their thoughts were they were going to die. Every one of the accounts, whether it be Matthew or Mark or Luke, they were afraid of death. Matter of fact, look over there with me to Luke's account. Luke in chapter 8. In Luke in chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. So he's instructing them to get on the ship and to go over. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. The ship was in jeopardy of sinking. It was full of water. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. They didn't go to him to wake him up until they thought all hope was gone. They were going to die. We perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. So they wait for the last possible minute before they thought, we can't wait, we're dying. This is it, we're facing death. And they woke him up. Can I tell you that no man can stop death? It's appointed a man wants to die. It's reality. It is part of God's design after sin. It's part of the curse of sin. It's part of the wages of sin. It's death. Separation from God spiritually. And an aging process that leads to a physical death. No matter how many pills you take, and no matter how many infomercials that you listen to, you can't stop death. Now, I believe that we can live a longer life by taking care of our bodies and understanding those things, and we ought to do so, but we can't stop death. Even though we can't stop death, the need for Christ increases when we face it. I've seen a lot of people get saved because of facing someone else's death. And it forces them to face the reality that it's when a man wants to die. What follows death? A lot of times people don't want to think about that because they're afraid that it's going to change the way they live life. But no man can stop death. But through death, everyone sees the need increased. The need for Christ increased. Instead of fearing death, Jesus wanted his disciples to look to him and to live with boldness. Instead of fearing death, we need to focus more on living life as God would have us to live life. I love what we find in the Proverbs. Let me just read this to you. But Proverbs in chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, I believe I shared this with you on Wednesday night. It went with the lesson then. But Proverbs 28 says this: the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Because they're afraid. And I'm trying to flee death. I'm trying to flee whatever darkness. But it's pursuing. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous, to be righteous, is simply mean that I am right with God. If you're right with God, you know that he controls death and life, heaven and hell. He has the keys to death and hell. And so the understanding here is, if we are right with God, then I'm going to live to accomplish whatever it is that God has me to accomplish. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why do I have to fear when it comes to death? Now, do I want to die? No. You shouldn't want to die. You ought to want to live. Because understanding that God has a purpose for your life, and that's what you need to focus on, is God's purpose for my life. And accomplishing those things will determine blessings in heaven, crowns in heaven, treasures in heaven. All these things God has revealed to us to help us understand that don't fear death, live life. And live it boldly for Christ. All of the apostles would die a martyr's death. But they lived life to accomplish some great things. They turned the world upside down some 2,000 years ago. And because of what they did in living life, we enjoy our Christian life today. Yeah. They were afraid of death. And Jesus wanted to address their faith. Whatever you might fear, you need to address your faith. Because faith is what overcomes fear. Back over in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful? Oh, ye have little faith." And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And after the great calm, the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Can I tell you, their faith increased on that day? Because now they are marveling at Christ. And they realize that they are his disciples. Can I tell you this evening, never stop looking to increase your faith. Because you need an increased faith for tomorrow. Your faith that you had yesterday will not get you through what you're going to face tomorrow. You need to continue to increase your faith daily. The Bible says, in the book of Romans, in chapter 10 and verse 17, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Incentive to read your Bible every day. Because God will direct you to what you need to face tomorrow. He'll direct you to receive what you need today so that you'll have the faith for tomorrow. Amen? Yeah, that's exactly what's taking place. That's exactly what Jesus is doing in the lives of his apostles here. The more we learn about Christ, the greater our faith will be. ...99.9% of the time, he's going to work through what he's already established as far as natural things. But that doesn't keep me from praying for the desires of my heart, because it might be that the desire of my heart is that 1% that God is going to work opposite nature and bring to me something miraculous to increase my faith so that I might go on to accomplish even greater things for Christ. I believe that God performed a miracle for me to be here right now. I really do. I believe I should have died. I did die. I should not have made it through that. The circumstances was God. That's the only explanation. And I believe it's because of the prayers of the saints. Now, you might not want it as much now after you see what you got, but I mean, I'm just saying that I don't fear death. I want to boldly live, to use whatever strength and opportunities that I have to continue the work for Christ, whatever that would be. So lastly this evening, why did Jesus want to be found sleeping? You ever called somebody and you know they just woke up, but no, just got a little... Yeah, no, be honest, you were sleeping. What are you sleeping in the afternoon for? You're not that old. Now you get my age, you can take those naps, amen? Why did he want to be found sleeping? Matthew chapter 8, look at this account, look at verse 24. He was, here it is, this is all going on. He's aware of this, he's God. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was sleeping. But he was asleep. Luke's account, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind out on the lake. He wanted to be asleep during the storm. He wanted them to come to him when all hope was gone. He wanted them to see him sleeping, even when they were afraid of dying. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Knowing what was coming, he went to sleep. There would be a lot of noise, a lot of panic, a lot of lightning and thunder. boat was tossed to and fro, filling up with water. And yet, there could be sweet rest in the middle of the storm. There could be peace in the midst of the storm. He knew who he was. He had faith in who he was. He knew there was zero possibility that he would die in that storm. He wanted them to marvel at not only what he did, but at his peace, to be able to sleep in the midst of a storm. If we have faith, we don't ever have to be afraid. In closing, Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. I'm telling you, this is like God knew what he was going to write in the Gospels. Yeah. It could be because he did. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. The key in the midst of the storm is by faith, praising God. Because he's able to take us home in the midst of the storm, or he's able to deliver us in the midst of the storm. But whatever he chooses, it's right for us because he's God. All we have to have is marvel at who he is and put our faith in him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Wow. What a better way to live life. Not in fear, but in praising our Savior. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. What a powerful trial that Jesus took his disciples through so that they could learn to marvel, praise, and have faith in God. Father, we bow before you tonight, and again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church and for this lesson that we have learned through reading the scriptures and how you were preparing the disciples through this trial. You likewise prepare us. Help us never to lose sight of who you are. Help us never to lose sight of our faith. Help us to always find peace and comfort and the will of our God. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.